This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This is the Best of Interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Welcome back. It's Midday Show. We're live today at the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillian. Joining us right now is BG Brandon Graham. What's up, BG?
What up? Good morning. That's what I meant to say.
So far, how's retired left treating you? You know, because this, to be honest, B, this ain't the time where you get the itch. Because, you know, you know what I mean? So how you doing so far?
I'm enjoying this right now because summertime. Probably be down at the shore sometime coming soon. And, man, enjoying the summer. Enjoying them later months, too. August, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, in August, I'm going to tell you, when August comes around,
But September is really when that itch is going to be like, dang. But you right, that grind, the breaking in of the feet, all the stuff that's going on, them camp eyes, all that.
Yeah. So I've seen, we had a chance, me and Joe, we check out, we saw you on the NFL Network. So, how has that been for you? How have you liked, you know, branching out a little bit? I know you've been doing this with us for a while, but now you're doing the television stuff. How does that feel to you? Does it feel natural?
It feels natural. It feels good. The radio definitely has helped me just even slow down, because just being able to be comfortable with the people that you have, just make it seem like it's just a conversation. And some of those guys that I was on with, those were people that I've interviewed with over the years in football. And so it was like we were just reminiscing about old days. And that's where my comfort came.
So, BG, we saw Friday the Eagles traded Bryce Huff. I mean, he was your teammate last year. What do you make of that? Because when he signed him, Hugh was really excited about Bryce Huff coming to the Eagles. Mm-hmm. 10 sacks with the Jets. And you know, I know during one point of your career, you were switched back different kinds of defenses. With him, do you think it was just a bad fit? Like the defense here maybe wasn't what he did well? Because people were excited when they got him, and now 1 year out, now he's a 49er.
Well, I know he's a player. He's a player for sure. I think it's the scheme. Scheme fits, and that's a true thing. And I know going back to that old 4-3 pass rushing type of defense, I know he's going to like it because that's what he does. And so I'm happy for Huff on that because me and Huff, we got close as he was going through things. That's the stuff that you don't go, that you talk about during the year where people is not having the type of year that they want and still being a great teammate. He was one of those guys. You ain't really see him mad about nothing. It was just more if he was mad, it was more in private. But it was just more of him just being a great teammate, serving, going out there working, giving looks. And I'm proud that that he was able to get a ring at least off of it before he got out of there.
So basically, B, you saying that it just wasn't a scheme fit for him, the way that they were asking some of the stuff. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, I say it's a scheme fit. It's really, like, for him, I know he thrived in that 4-3. And, I mean, that's when I got resurrected my career in that Jim Schwartz type of defense. And
yeah.
That's what out with the 49ers, him with the Jets, with Saleh, he was the one that that was raving about how he loved that defense. And so when he came here, we kind of had the similar traits of getting off and doing all the same stuff because we had that 4-3 for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to 3-4. And so we just had to get used to Coach Vic's way of doing things. You know how I go. Once you know to learn a new technique with your coach, you start going over and over and you're doing it. It felt good. And I just think that, Huff just didn't have enough time to kind of get right.
You know what? Talk about that a little bit because I played in the 4-3 when I was in New York.
Yep.
And they moved to the 3-4, but I wasn't an outside linebacker. I became the D tackle.
Yep.
So for you, because we're about the similar body type, how different was it for you going from defensive end to outside linebacker? And talk a little bit about some of the responsibilities that you had with that position at outside linebacker.
Well, for one, if you as an outside linebacker in the scheme, you got to be able to jam the number two. And sometimes the number two
is whoever the
receiver is. Yeah. If you're lining up out there, even if you got a blitz sometimes it's delayed, then you go. But, man, jamming that number two when you got Devontae Smith standing right there in the number two, and then you like – just don't get beat inside because I'm my number three on the far left. You got to know all this stuff. You got to know where everybody, where your help is, where you're not, where your help is not. And I think for me, that was easy for me to pick up because of how fast you got to transfer the information. But actually doing it was what you got to have reps in. And so some people just didn't thrive in that. And when you out there, you got to be able to do both because we know you can play the run and do all that stuff. But how can you jam this guy to give us time to get up, get back there?
So wait a minute. I'm sorry, Joe, because this is fascinating to me because, like I said, in a 3-4, I was the D tackle. So I had like a two-way go.
Yep.
Which meant that I had the two gap and sit on the line and play off of everything else. So you mean to tell me that, like, in your blitz, it was all predicated on that, like, where that slot receiver lined up, that number two receiver lined up, and whether, like, you didn't get just to go when you got off the line. You had to wait and see.
Yeah.
What was happening? That's a lot.
I mean, well,
and the game is moving. And the game
is moving.
It's like a lot of thinking in that.
Yeah.
It's not as complicated as maybe as I made. But you just know that if you the one on the so say if it's a
if it's strong left, say if it's strong right. Left.
So say we blitzing from the left, he'll call like a lucky, or you know, and that tells the defensive with the outside linebacker to make sure he's still line up on number two, act like he's not coming, and then go from
there.
And so sometimes he wants you to chip the guy and then go, and it just depends on who it is.
But you got to get hands on him because you're trying to reroute him. That's a lot.
Yeah, and so some dudes really good at it, and some dudes not. And I just know for sure that what's his name is a pass rushing guy, and Huff, I'm happy for him going to the 49ers.
Brandon Graham joining us here at the Brian Dawkins Golf Fund. All right, so one thing that strikes me about the team right now as we get closer to the summer. Is they're young up front, Brandon. Yep. I mean, they're young at your position, at the edge. You know, and I think we all see the talent with Nolan Smith, and we see with Jalex Hunt. Do you think those guys are ready for the next step? Because Josh Sweat is gone, and Huff is gone, and you're gone. Like, veterans that were here, do you think those young guys are ready, from what you know about them, to take that next step and play more and kind of be the leaders of that room?
Well, I think it's a big step for a lot of them that they got to take, because it's really about the leadership that they got to continue to have while – the other guys are not there no more, because it's not going to be guys reminding you. You got to be the ones being the reminders and the ones, because you've won a championship. You've known what it takes. You've seen certain guys that was here and the work that has to go in. And if you keep that going and you make sure that you are leading the pack with that, what you doing more than what you're saying, I think that they'll be headed, like the saying part will be, as the season go, they'll continue to grow into that role. But I know it's all about doing exactly what you're supposed to do, working the technique, making sure that you're going out there and serving somebody else, bringing them up, because, I mean, Nolan Smith, he is the guy. I told him, like, you the guy. You got to make sure that you showing them, and then, of course, you got to make sure you breaking them down, giving them some words, and just doing being you. And at the end of the day, as long as you know being you is all you did, that's the best way I can go out.
All right, Hugh, I think we got to ask Brandon about the big debate we had last week. So I'm not sure if you saw this. You probably were unplugged. So Pro Football Focus put out their list last week. Their top 32 quarterbacks enter in the season. I'm going to tell you where they put Jalen, and you tell me if it's fair or unfair. All right? So they had the elite category. They put four guys. They put Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. They put Burrow, Lamar, Josh Allen. Those were their top four. Then they had the next tier, and Jalen was the number five overall quarterback, and he was the first guy in that next tier. Fair? Not fair? Does he belong in that first group? Like, when you hear that, Jalen Hurts ranked number five, but below those four, what do you think?
Well, I think about how they always talking about the Eagles and always having us as the underdog. So it don't surprise me that we still the underdogs, even though we won last year. He slayed all those quarterbacks. But we're going to keep it quiet. We're going to keep it cute and classy. And Jay going to just go out there and do his thing again. And when he's done, hopefully they're giving him his flowers, because I don't expect him to this year. So it doesn't surprise me.
You know, last week when we debated this, Hugh's point was, if you win the Super Bowl or you're in the Super Bowl, you got to be one
you
of the
gotta
top
two. You got to be. I mean, that's what I said before, but I'm like, hey, I don't know who's actually doing it. It might be a Cowboys fan that's doing this list.
That's why I didn't say nothing, BG, because I didn't want them to think that I was influencing you in any kind of way.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, man, it's not right, but if you win the Super Bowl, and the only reason why I put him at number two is because of what Patrick Mahomes has accomplished in his career.
Yeah.
But, man, you've been with him, like, I call it unquantifiable intangibles when it comes to playing that position. Now, Jalen might not be the biggest. He might not be the strongest quarterback when you talk about those other guys.
Yep.
But it's something about him that makes him a leader of men.
Yes.
And that's the thing that you know, people don't seem to get. And not only that, BG, because you've been here for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, and you've seen quarterbacks come and go.
Boy.
And you've been in locker room. I can't wait till you write this book now, because I know you're about to write a book. Especially
another one has to be a second book.
Especially after, like, you were here for the Carson Wentz thing.
Yeah.
So you saw all of that. Mm-hmm. So you have a unique perspective on what it takes to be a quarterback here for number one from your purview.
Yep.
And how the quarterbacks here handle the adversity that they go through.
Yes, because that's important. That's very important.
Because you've seen the Carson Wentz thing and how that played out.
Yep.
And you also saw this year how the maturation of Jalen Hurts, or the evolution of Jalen. Mm-hmm. Because you started out the season one way, trying to throw the football.
Yep.
And then it changes. So I just want to know when that book is coming out, man. And
he wants an advanced
copy. What's your perspective of all of that? Just seeing him grow as a quarterback.
Man, he's grown because he's been consistent, and I think consistent matters. And then standing on when people don't like some of the choices you make, and just standing on it anyway, because that's who you are. You're gonna go out like the way you go out, because I know he's all about learning. He's all about, like, getting better as a person, as a player. But people don't see – he don't want people to see the behind-the-scenes stuff. He just wants you to see the finished product.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know a lot of people just don't know what they don't know about him. And, man, I'm just excited for him to go out this year and shut him up again, because you got Josh Allen, who's been to the – championship every year. This can't seem to beat Mahomes. You know what I'm saying? This can't seem to beat Mahomes.
Speak on it.
But that boy Jalen done been to the Super Bowl MVP the 2022 year. That would have been, man, if we, you know, a couple calls here, fumble here, we don't do, but they won. But I'm just saying, that boy Jalen came back and went to the Super Bowl again, where Josh Allen definitely hasn't even sniffed it. And it's like, okay, Like, they just like who they like, man. And so that's why I say, Jalen, keep your head up. Your teammates got you. Everybody that's fighting for you, just they're going to see your consistency, and they're going to fight for you on Sunday. And that's all that really matter, because people don't never see what they don't see, but they always try to judge off what they see, on game day. But, man, he's a leader of men, as you said, somebody that you want in your room, your locker room, and can't wait to see him this year take that next step and shut him up again.
Well, let's end with this, Brandon. You were 2017, you guys win the championship. 2018, you make it back to playoffs, but that was kind of a choppy year. It was not as easy. It was more challenging, it felt like. What's the biggest challenge you think this group's going to face in trying to repeat, that the whole league is kind of honing in on them as the defending champions?
Don't try to be the team we was last year. It's every year you got to continue to – you got new guys coming in. You got – Uche and them guys up front, you got to find out y'all rhythm and chemistry together.
Angry Africans. I want to name them the Angry Africans.
Yeah. No. I told you we can't do that.
Hey, well, he got to go show it. He got to go show it. Then you can start. You can put a name on it. Then that's something.
I told you he could say that. I'm not saying. I'm not doing that.
But no, I'm just saying. Really, the question mark is the D line right now. A lot of people don't know what they're going to do. I mean, they know JC, they know Jordan Davis and them guys, but we did lose a lot, Nolan Smith. But it's the other side is open. Jalix Hunt, you know, who is it going to be?
I like
it could
Jalix.
Be him. I like Jalix a lot. I like that he put on some weight this year. I can't wait to see him out there in the grind of it when we get to training camp, just to see him, you know, just grow off what he learned last year.
You going to training camp, B?
I mean, you know me, man.
B, that's going to be hard. B, that's going to be hard for you, man.
It's going to be hard, but I'm going to be talking my stuff on the sideline. Yeah!
That's going to be hard for you, bro.
Talking about that D-line, boy. Can't wait to see him going against Lane and all them. But you're right, though. The offense, man, if we just go out there and don't expect don't worry about what last year is all about. Talk about this year and the new focus. We got to have a new focus for this year. And I know Coach Sirianni already captured that and got the saying already. And then you just got to believe it. And then we got to get the other guys believing it. And then it's a daily walk and injury free. That's what you're striving for, to stay healthy. And man, I think we can repeat. We can be going on our three-peat era right now.
Well, there we go. Then Jalen will be right near the top.
I hope so. Yeah, I don't think so, though.
Then it'd be hard not to do it. BG, we appreciate it. Enjoy today. Beautiful weather and a great spot here. Thank you to Brandon Graham for hopping on with us at the Brian Dawkins Celebrity Golf Outing. Thanks, BG. We appreciate it.
E-H-E-L-E-S-E-O.
There we go. BG with us here. All right, 215-592-9494. That gets you aboard. Back midday show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill. Yes, we are at the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament. And the reason we're here is Dawk. He's with us right now. Brian Dawkins on the midday show. Dawk, how you doing today?
Absolutely blessed. Beautiful day, nice weather, and appreciate y'all coming out, man.
You know what I got to say? I'm glad we get a chance for everybody to see my dog outfit on YouTube, because you have dressed for the occasion. I really like those pants, man.
Come on, man. Come on. Listen, we just talked about it. I mean, if you don't play golf good, you got to at least look the part.
You look great, man.
You got to look the part.
You look great.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you got to know how much that Hugh cares about you, because he at least wore a golf shirt. We went to an outing last year. He wore a sweatsuit. We were like, Hugh, come on. We got to wear some golf clothes.
I have been criticized and accused of not knowing how to dress for golf outings. So this is the first time that I've actually had a chance. I'm trying to step my game up. I'm trying to do more mature adult things. And I said, this is a great time to start at your golf tournament. It's a great time to start.
Appreciate you.
So before,
don't know how long it's gonna last.
Yeah, no, probably not long. All right, but before we get to any football stuff, tell us about this day, why it's so special to you and your foundation.
So the foundation is something that we started in 2019, and the premise of it is to bless single parents and the young people in the household with opportunities, and with those opportunities, prayerfully, that they'll come up with visions to then pursue life from a different angle, right? So providing them with the different resources that they need in order to have that be something that they want to go after, instead of seeing the things around them as blocks for them not to do anything. Now we can potentially give them opportunity to do things that they would not be able to do other than without the foundation's givings. Again, so that they can go after a life in a different way, through a different vision of what they can do with those opportunities.
So, Doc, I know you tell the story all the time, but I think that our fans need to hear it. What was it that motivated you to do this and give back the way that you're giving back?
Yeah, so it was the loss of friends growing up. I lost a couple of my friends to the streets, if you will, and neither one of them had fathers in the household, and I knew their moms, and their moms were working their behinds off, and so oftentimes they weren't home to raise the children, so they were left to kind of raise themselves. And so once we got into the space of retirement and, you know, wanting to do things in a greater way to bless people, you know, this is what then came to mind. How can I bless one of them? One of the individual's names was Gary. The other one's name was Keith. How can I bless Gary and Keith before they get into those situations? Right. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how this foundation is. And I'm not saying every kid is Gary and Keith, but my point is, if they would have had probably an opportunity to then do some of the things with the gifts that I know both of them had, if they would probably been given an opportunity to do things, maybe they wouldn't have gone down the path that they went down, that to have their lives been taken the way that they were.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, man. It really does, especially when you talk about, because you grew up in Florida, I'm from Ohio, but
yeah,
being in neighborhoods where you see kids that probably are more talented than you at a young age, and all of a sudden something happens where they make the wrong choice or they go down the wrong path, and that dream is just gone. That happens a lot.
It does. And I guess because we've been able to do what we've been able to do as far as going to the National Football League to do things from a different degree, then you can look back. Because I'm telling you, I look back over my life and I look at, because I hung out with both of those dudes.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, I lost one of them when I was in the ninth grade. So, like, I remember him asking me to go, like, places with him at times. And I'm like, no, I can't do that, because I knew what he was doing. I know he was selling, basically he was selling drugs. And so, you know, oftentimes I would think, now what if I went with him that last time and I was in the front seat and it wasn't him in the front seat, and I won't be too graphic here, but what happened to him happened to me because I was in the front seat, right? So, and that's something that could have happened had I made the decision. To not have football and sports to be such a part of what I wanted to do with my life. Certain things I wanted to do, and certain people I did not want to disappoint, like my father. I didn't want to disappoint my father. So having that as something to kind of steer me away from doing things and going places with him allows me to then be where I am. But on the other side of that conversation is, I knew, like, Gary was a phenomenal artist, could draw. Like, he probably can do comic books. As a matter of fact, he would do comic books for us. And then my other guy, Keith, who I lost, like, he can talk you into doing anything, bro. So I think he could have been, like, a lawyer or something. So the point is that these young people have gifts, and these young people we're reaching here in Philadelphia, they have gifts that they don't know they have yet. Right. Or they have gifts that they're using the wrong way. So if we can then steer them in a direction with giving them these resources to bless them in that way, that's what the foundation is about.
Well, it's an important cause. Doc, it's one of those things where I think all of us have empathy for people in that situation. But to actually give back and doing something for them, it's a special thing. We're happy to be here today and happy to be at your tournament. All right, let's talk some Eagles here.
Yep.
Doc, what do you think the biggest challenge for this team is going to be to try to repeat? It's one thing to have that great season they had last year, but now they're trying to do it again when they're the hunted. What's the biggest challenge for the Eagles to try to do it again?
All right, follow me here. You exhale too long. You exhale. You got it done. Oh, yeah. You exhale too long. And then you don't get back into the mindset of the grind. You don't get back into the mindset of, okay, yes, we did that. We're going to celebrate it where it's time to celebrate. But now it's time to get back into pain mode. We have to reintroduce yourself to the grind and the pain that got you to the place to be in the playoffs and be in the Super Bowl in the first place. Sometimes that is the thing that hinders individuals, because they celebrate too long, or it's always, yo, but we won the Super Bowl. I didn't do this thing, but we won the Super Bowl. Yeah, we didn't do it, but
we hear that a lot. Zone, right? We hear that a lot.
Yeah,
So
it has to get to the point, it has to get to the point that last year does not exist anymore. You really have to then go back into the lab for yourself to be brutally honest. What you see on film, don't give yourself ways out when you look at film, and then you get back into the pain, the beautiful pain of getting better. The beautiful pain of getting better.
And that's hard. I mean, I have to imagine that it's hard at least. Because when you're at the top of whatever profession, but certainly the NFL, you got to feel like I arrived. I mean, I've seen this offseason. You know, there's certain guys that have enjoyed it a lot, and they should enjoy it. But, like, now it's got to be that time. I don't know when that time started, OTAs or minicamp. I would think now is that time. They got to lock back in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
So obviously we didn't win the Super Bowl, but I'll tell you that when we then have those long seasons, it is tough. When you have longer seasons, it is tough. They have a whole lot more recovery devices than we did. I'll just say it like that, right? But you have to flip that switch, I would say, sooner than later to get back into that process, because what you don't want to do, I don't want to live off of yesterday's success, right? So yesterday was great. Again, beautiful, had that success. But when you look at film, if you're brutally honest at what you see things that you could have done and should have done better. And you need to be as aggravated with yourself not doing it and getting it right that you were last year. During that period of last year, I talked about this, that team was going to have growing pains, and they did. They had growing pains throughout the year, and they played their best football at the right time at the end of the year. But that came with, I'm telling you, that came with tough conversations about when you look in the mirror and with one another, and it took you not taking the easy road. You can't take that easy road, and that easy road is what we won the Super Bowl. If you keep, if that keeps in your mind, you will not grind to the place that you need to be so that you can go out and play that dominant football that they played last year.
When you look at Cooper DeJean, what do you see? What makes him the good slot corner that he is, dog? When you watch him play, what is it that makes him so special?
Well, I think the first thing with Cooper that you see is that he's extremely confident.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was asked this another time. Like, I was not as confident as him as a rookie. Like, mm-hmm. I was not confident in what I can do. He's confident in what he can do. And the other thing is that he's patient. He doesn't panic. When you see him in his press coverage, he does not, even off coverage, he does not panic. He's very patient in his technique, mm-hmm. and he believes he has the tools to be able to stay hip to hip with guys consistently, and he does. So his transitions are smooth. He doesn't stumble a whole lot. And then again, that confidence to me is the main thing. But I will also say that when he, Carolina, who is their slot receiver?
Was it LeGarrette?
Adam Thielen.
Thielen.
Yeah, that's, you're right.
I was so happy that happened. That Adam kind of got the best of
the veteran. Yeah,
because oftentimes I want to see how you respond from adversity. I want to see when someone gets the best of you, what comes out of you, right? Do you go into a shell, or do you get better, learn from that mistake, and then get better the next time? It seems to me that he got better after that opportunity to learn from a veteran, to get handled a little bit by a veteran. He learned from that and got better. Now, this year will be different for both those young corners. Every team has had now a year to then study them, to see maybe where their weaknesses are, right? So that's why it's important for those young men to be looking at their film, to be honest with what they see, because other teams are seeing maybe some things that we can kind of go after, and maybe they'll party too much and not get better in these areas, and we can attack them. So I'm kind of anxious to see if that then plays out in the way that teams begin to attack them in different ways, to see if they can exploit something that they think that they saw on film.
If you were in charge of the defense, because when they drafted Cooper DeJean, no one really knew exactly where he'd play, right? He played everywhere at Iowa, corner, safety, slot, and then he found a home and he was really good at nickel corner. If you were in charge of the defense, would you just leave him there? Because we did hear last week they started him a little bit more on the outside. It seems like they're going to bounce him around. Would you leave him, or would you say, hey, let's see what you could do?
So I'm not in, and that's, here's what I always say. I'm not in practice. I don't see what they're doing in practice. I don't study film to watch them in practice. If you have someone that you know can play inside and out, leave him there and then allow everybody to fight for that outside position, right? Again, if you're more comfortable with him in the slot, you leave him there. Why? Because a lot of the skilled receivers, what they try to do is put them in the slot so that they can go against linebackers and go against guys in the slot that aren't as good, right? So if you want to have him in that slot position, but that's only if you have that guy outside that can handle their business. So allow those guys in the outside to battle that, knowing that you have Cooper. If you need to stick him out there, to stick him out there.
Who's the best golfer that's going to be here today? Ike talks a big game. Can I golf?
Why would you bring up Ike as the best golfer?
I'm asking of your former teammates. We know.
Former teammates.
We know it's not Hugh. I mean, he's not. Playing. He can't golf.
But I would say Irvin.
Yeah.
Rev takes the game way too serious, man.
Ike does too, though. Ike takes it pretty serious.
He does.
So Irv is one of those guys that he'll take 30 minutes to warm up with different devices.
Oh, he's real.
Stretch.
They be dead.
He's into it.
See, here's the question that I have for you, dog. You ready?
Talk to him.
Because it's been bothering, because, you know, it's. So
when he says you're ready.
I'm curious. We were talking about this last night. So when you, because we still know you bench. So are we still putting more weight on the bench, or are we at a certain weight that we just play with? Or are you still in there trying to max out?
All right, so I don't one rep max anymore. I don't try to load the weight up on the bar to max. But I will put a couple of plates, you know, three
he
plates.
He tried to be my. Don't be modest with me. Don't be my. What you working with, man? Seriously, because you're making me mad over here playing.
So like for instance, like I can get 315 probably like 12 times, right? So that's and that's.
All right,
that's
I don't need to hear no more.
Everybody needs to hear.
Hey, dog. You know the last. You know last time I tried to put 315 on the bar. About 10 years ago.
Oh, we need to see this again. We need to just see what this looks like.
No, your elbows and stuff don't be hurting.
Yeah, but that's not an every time thing, though. You can't like go in there every time and do
no,
that.
Don't tell me you being there with the elbows wrapped up. Yeah. No,
that only happened when I was trying to do too much too often.
What you mean? What you was trying to do 400?
Yeah. that's what I came down off of. So
wait a minute. You said, okay, 400 too much.
Yes.
But damn near 50. 315, right, that's in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
You asked him a question, he gave you an answer, Hugh.
I hate him so much right now. No, I'm struggling probably with, like, I keep it like 185, something like this, just to keep it light.
185?
No, dude, like, if you're doing
reps. What happened
to you?
What happened to this guy?
If you're doing reps, dog, the elbows and stuff hurt the shoulders. This cat, this old cat right here, still playing with 315.
Yeah, but
12 reps.
It's not. It's not like a explosive.
No,
kind
but
of workout
but I can see. I know how you're doing it, dog. You're like, yeah.
and that's the sound right there. Yep.
But 12, like, dog, you don't understand, Joe. 12 times with the slow rep.
No, I don't. You're right. I don't understand. I have no idea what it's like to push that much weight here. You're dead right.
Man, get out of town. See, now I got – see, I've got this thing going with Spike at the station, right? Spike said he could do 250 push-ups, like, straight out.
Right, like, in one sitting?
Well, he does five sets of 50. A lot of people are skeptical he actually can do this. So Hugh wants to challenge him to a push-up.
No, he wanted to challenge me. So, you know, I've been doing – but listen, with these elbows and trying to get – it ain't the same thing, but I'm just a little jealous.
And that's the other thing, too. Like, I haven't had a whole lot of trauma to my joints and stuff. Like, elbows –
You've given out a lot of trauma, though.
I did. But I haven't had a whole lot of trauma to those things, so I still can do those. But, again, that's not – I don't do that every time.
See, now you're trying to make me feel better.
No, yes, I don't do that every time.
Hugh's crushed. He's done for the day now. He's done for the day. Doc, we appreciate you being here, and we appreciate you having us today. We're excited to be here.
Appreciate y'all, man.
Thanks so much. There he goes, Brian Dawkins.
Hit him straight, brother.
He's with us here, and we appreciate him on. All right, 215-592-9494. That gets you aboard here. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. We're live today from the Brian Dawkins driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament. And we've had some celebrities so far. Brandon Graham joined the show. Brian Dawkins himself joined the show. And now we get to be joined, Hugh, by the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Great. Wonderful. Beautiful day. Great golf course and a great cause.
So Mer, I got to ask, because I'm going to take you back to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
What was it like to call that beatdown that the Eagles put on the Kansas City Chiefs? No, let me take it back a little bit. What was your feelings like before the game? How did you feel the game was going to go? And then when you saw it going the way that it went, how did you feel?
Well, number one, I felt going into the game that the Eagles were the better team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you looked at both lines and you looked at a lot of different areas, wide receiver, running back, but I thought they were the best team going into the game. But I also thought that 2 years ago in Arizona when the Eagles lost to the Chiefs, but I thought that this was – I thought that this was the best Eagles team in modern history, and I still do. But I felt good, but not – you're never confident
in
what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I go back to the Rams game in the playoffs, and I never take out my phone during a game. Never take it out. But I could feel something buzzing in my pocket after Saquon scored late in the game, and I said, that should be the dagger. And at that point, I felt it buzz and buzz and buzz and buzz. So when the game ended, and of course we know that they came within one Matthew Stafford touchdown pass of losing that game. And when I took out my phone, it was my wife, Cindy, and she had repeatedly put down, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, because she gets very superstitious. Now, my son, Nolan, who is a film editor in California, was in the booth with us as our researcher, coming up with stuff. And when the Eagles were up at halftime, 24-0, Nolan handed me a note that said, "Dad, remember, the Patriots trailed the Falcons.
I was a part of that one, Merrill.
28-3.
Yeah.
28-3. So I didn't say anything. But when the Chiefs came out in the second half and went 1-2-3 and out, I knew it was over. I didn't say it, but I knew it was over because if Andy couldn't figure out a way to get them moving for at least the first series, I thought it was over, and it was.
Well, it was, and then the dagger happened, and then it, you know, the scoreboard was so lopsided at that point. What a dominant effort. You know, really, Amara, we don't see many Super Bowl blowouts anymore. That was more of an older NFL thing, right? Once the salary cap era got into place, the Super Bowl is usually close. So
pretty close.
Yeah, it wasn't just, and I agree with you, the greatest Eagles team I've ever seen, but they put an exclamation point because history is going to remember, they blew the Chiefs out. I mean, the Chiefs, I think, in Mahomes' whole career have lost by double digits 8 or 9 times in 7 or 8 years. Like, they don't ever get blown out. For the Eagles to do that, it was just amazing.
You know, the other thing is, in the last 3 meetings, Jalen Hurts has outperformed Patrick Mahomes. Super Bowl, the Monday night, the year before, and this.
Well, he's beat him twice in a row. I mean, how many quarterbacks beat Mahomes twice in a row to begin with? So all that is so super impressive. All right, Mara, let's kind of look forward here, because this was an interesting offseason. We knew they'd have losses, right? They had a lot of free agents, some guys that just, it felt like it was probably the time they're going to move off them. So now it sets up an interesting training camp where they're the defending champions, but they have a lot of new or younger faces that are going to be in big roles, especially on that defensive side, which I'm excited for, but it's also like, hey, can they do it again? Can they be as good again without all those vets?
You know, Joe, I think going into the season, they will be the best team in the National Football League. If you look at the rosters, this is the best team in the NFL. But a lot of I'm not somebody, I know you guys have to do it on talk radio, but I am never somebody who puts the W's and L's down on the schedule.
Oh, we do that all the time.
Everybody does it. I never do it because let's face it, I'm not criticizing you, but basically it's a waste of time.
Well, it's hard to really know what the teams will look like in November
you
and December.
You don't know that. You don't know the injury picture is the biggest factor. I mean, look how great Detroit was, and when they played Washington, they had 18 guys on injured reserve.
Well, it changed everything. You're right about that, right? Because
changes everything.
It does. You know, and you don't know, because it's such a long season, so many games, you don't know by the end what it's going to look like. What we do know, though, Merrill, and I'm sure you've thought about it a lot because your schedule revolves around it, we do know what the schedule looks like, right? We knew the opponents, now we know when. What did you think of what they did this year? Because there's no back-to-back home games. That has never happened for a defending Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
They start with Dallas. What's your thought on those two things? No back-to-back home games, and the opener is Dallas.
Well, I like that. I like, because we feel Dallas is our greatest rival. Of course, Washington and the Giants also feel that way. But we think that Dallas is the greatest rival, and we feel beat Dallas. What a way to start the season. And what a way to have the championship flag raised with the Cowboys looking and feeling some pain. So I love opening with Dallas. So that I love. I don't like the back-to-back home games. I look at night games on the road because that means we're going to get home at 5 o'clock the next morning. I love having the Friday afternoon game.
Oh, the Black Friday game against the Bears.
Oh, isn't that, I love having that. I love having that. And then you have the whole weekend to watch football, to sit back and enjoy other teams without worrying about the Eagles. So there are a lot of things I like.
Did you like that Washington was pushed? We don't see Washington until the final 3 weeks of the season, then we see him twice. I thought we'd see him once earlier than that. Kind of weird.
Well, I don't love seeing a team twice within 3 weeks.
I think we get that twice. Giants and Washington twice
both
within 3 weeks.
Both of them.
Weird game plans when it's like that, when it's scheduled like that.
That is weird. That is weird. I prefer that there'd be more separation. Sure. In the NFC East.
I think a lot of us would. All right, Merrill Reese with us here. With the Brian Dawkins Celebrity Golf Outing. Merrill, last year Saquon Barkley was as good as you could possibly be. One of the greatest seasons anyone's ever had in NFL history. Do you think he could do it again? I mean, that's because most time a running back carries the ball that much, the next year it's hard to replicate it. Do you expect another special year out of Saquon?
I expect a special year. I don't know statistically if you could expect a year like that, but I expect as long as he stays healthy, he is a great, great back. So I do expect big things.
Mayor, when it comes to Jalen, because we've had this conversation as well. Do you think that since the way we won the Super Bowl last year by primarily running the football, that he needs to evolve a little bit and maybe this year get the passing game more evolved in this offense?
Well, I think they can. I think that basically Kansas City took away a lot of what Barkley could do and said, beat us with your arm.
Mm-hmm.
And he did.
And
he did. Yeah. I have loved Jalen since I saw him at Alabama and Oklahoma, and I have never thought that he was anything but a franchise quarterback. And I look for him to have another big year.
Well, and he's proven to be that, and he's a winner. And in the big games, he performs like he did in the title game in the Super Bowl. Merrill, we appreciate you hopping on for a few minutes with us. Enjoy
Hit him
today.
Straight, Merrill. Hit him
Listen,
straight.
Listen, you guys do a great job. I love listening to you. I do almost every day, and unless I'm playing golf. But I do listen to you guys.
Merrill,
you do
is,
a great job.
It.
Oh, he's a golfer.
Yeah, Merrill, we thank you. And Merrill, of course, is a serious golfer.
Oh, yeah, he's serious about his golf game.
Are you serious about your golf game?
No, no. You know, it's funny. I have a story. You probably remember this, Merrill. This was like years ago. We were at a golf outing. And I was in a group that was behind Merrill, and I started talking.
Oh, no.
Merrill did not like that at all.
You messing everybody up.
Hey, Merrill was trying to hit his shot, and I was back there chirping.
No.
And Merrill kind of looked, and I was like, oh, the one person I did not want to piss off was Merrill.
You know what? I'm a golfer who loves – I'm a passionate golfer. Serious. You know what? I'm never somebody who will throw a club or go home really upset if I didn't play well. I love the game. I love the sport. I love being out. I love every bit of it. But I just love the participation. I'm very, very passionate.
Well,
so
we
basically tell me shut the hell up.
Yes,
when I'm
yes. I'm going to take that advice on you. All right, Merrill, we appreciate it. Merrill Reese joining us here at the Brian Dawkins
Merrill
Celebrity
Reese.
Golf Fan. Let's get back.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, no problem.
Jeremiah Trotter joins us.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Trot? Dude?
Good. How y'all doing, man?
Now, are you a golfer, or are you doing this because it's the event and you're not a golfer? Like, you're here for the day.
No, I'm a golfer. I love golf.
Oh, yeah?
I'm just in the middle of changing my swing.
Uh-oh.
So you know how that goes. So I'm trying to be patient. You got to take 10 steps forward just to get one or two steps.
Yeah.
So golf is frustrating for me right now, but I'm going to stick with it.
Well,
it's going to help me.
Why'd you change the swing? I mean.
Because I hurt my back one day swinging.
And
when you're swinging incorrectly, and, you know, I'm not getting any younger. So I wanted to make sure I'm swinging correctly where I can continue to play.
Because I heard you bombed the ball. So, you know.
Not right now.
Not right now?
When you change your swing, man, you got so much going through your head. You're not focusing on bombing. You just want to finish inside out on the ball, make good contact. And then, you know, once I get that down, then I can start trying to, you know, unload on the ball.
Now we obviously, you know, we love Ike.
Right.
How would you say his swing is?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you.
I wish you could see the look with the laugh, by the way.
No. Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't seen Ike play in a long time.
Okay.
I just have ingrained in my mind the first few times when he first started playing. So he's obviously a different player now, right? But, you know. So he said he's got better. I see him on the course. He's getting his game in, you know.
Well, he used to have the graphite clubs when I first started playing with him. The feet were jumping all over the place. So he's
the first time I played with him, he was out there with some King Cobras, man. I was like, yo, hey, Ike, you're not fooling anybody when you show up with some King Cobras. I'm just being honest with you.
he's getting better. He's getting better.
You know, you have all your old teammates here. As you get older and you have these opportunities to get back with these guys,
right.
Do you, like, look back and appreciate that time in it?
Oh,
more
no
and
doubt.
More the, like,
no
the older
doubt.
You get?
No yeah. doubt, man. You just, you know, you don't get a chance to see those guys often. So events like this for a good cause, for a great person, and then you get to just, you know, see all your old teammates, man, sitting around and just – You know, all the stories you tell, you get better and better as you get older.
Yeah.
You know.
The stories get better.
Yeah, you get better and better. You was better than you was last year, you know.
Yeah.
So it's always cool, man, just to reconnect with those guys. And this is a great event to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was it like? I mean, obviously, Trot's on the team this year.
Right.
They go to the Super Bowl. He breaks out your old celebration in the Super Bowl. I mean, how cool was that?
It's almost like watching your kid takes his first steps, man.
Yeah.
You know, as a parent, just a proud dad. And, you know, I just remember all the hard work and dedication and sacrifices that he put into the game. And it's not easy growing up being the son of, I don't want to use legend, other people use it, but just a guy that had a lot of success in this area, you know. And then you got the same name, you know. So it can be a lot of pressure.
And playing for the same team.
Same team.
Yep.
But even before that, just little league growing up, just being the son of Jeremiah Trotter, man, I can't imagine what it's like. But he's always handled it with grace. And for him, you know, people ask him, you know, is it pressure? He was like, man, my dad always been my dad. So it's just dad to me. So
right. Doesn't know any other way.
No, any other way. So right. he just put the work in. Yeah, just put the work in and just go out and do what you've been doing since you were little.
And then for you, you must, like, obviously, you must be very, very proud of him,
right,
and proud of what he's doing and where he's doing it. But I would imagine also you don't want him in your shadow all the time. So, like, is that a balance for you? Or
he doesn't have a choice.
Right. That's a good point.
He's in my shadow no matter what.
Right.
You know, you play the same sport, same position, same number, and wear the same name. You know, by default, because your last name, you're in my shadow. But when you put all those things in there, and listen, I told him, when you just put the work in, man, you put the work in and you have the God-given ability, you know, you just trust God, everything else will take care of itself. You just keep working and just wait for the opportunities, man, and what opportunity you get, make the best of it, you know.
This year's team, what now? Hugh's yelling.
Hey, man, he didn't want me messing with him earlier while he was on the air.
Yeah,
you know, so now he won't mess with me.
No respect.
Zero.
Guys got no respect.
Zero.
Yeah. He's going to walk in front of the YouTube thing again.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, he's in between swings.
You don't want to see it right now. Yeah. You don't want to see it right now.
Yeah.
This year's team, they lose a lot of snaps on defense, right? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of players that played a lot of snaps coming from a number one defense. Like, how if I'm a fan looking at it saying they lost one of their best edges, one of their best tackles, their CB2, their starting safety, like, how do I think that I'm confident in next year's defense losing what they lost?
Well, you just have to trust the process, you know, that they've drafted well, and that they make some moves in free agency, and that's normal. Anytime you win a Super Bowl, and guys are up for contract, they're gonna get paid, and they deserve to go get paid, right? So, it's always a high turnover when you win a Super Bowl because everybody wants a piece of winners. So, and two, if you win a Super Bowl, you got a lot of guys on your team playing very well, right? If not, then you're not gonna go that deep in the playoffs. So, those guys deserve what they got, man. You just got the next man up. It's got to be next man up mentality. And, you know, I'm confident that those guys will have the right pieces in place.
How about the job Vic Fangio did?
I mean,
what did you kind of see from Vic? Was it just bringing, like, an old-school mentality back to this defense?
I mean, he definitely has old-school mentality. He doesn't like to blitz a lot, right? He's different. He reminds me a lot of Jim Johnson, not the blitzing part, just his mentality. And to go into the Super Bowl and play one snap of man-to-man, I'm not sure how many times they blitzed. It wasn't a lot. But anytime you can get to the quarterback with the front four, you can beat anybody. It reminds me a lot of New York when they won it, when they had that great front four back in the day. And they beat
the Patriots both years.
With Patriots, yeah. They had a great front four, and when you don't have to blitz, and you're still getting that pressure, and that defense reminds me a lot of that.
Well, it seems like it takes so much. Like, if he gets the right amount of buy-in from the players, because it does seem like when you're playing that way, you might be giving up personal stats, especially for pass rushers, for the sturdiness of the defense. So it seems like buy-in with his defense is pretty important.
Well, I think buy-in is for every defense, no matter what level you are. So the players have to buy in. But I don't think the players sacrifice any stats because we had a bunch of guys had a lot of sacks this past year, you know, and they was getting to the quarterback, you know. And, you know, when you got the players we had last year on that defensive line, you know, man, we had some guys that had great years, bro. So, and I'm confident they'll replace those guys.
What about, I mean, you're obviously, I think, an Eagles legend. I know you don't want to say that earlier. Absolute Eagles legend. What's it like seeing a kid like Jalen Carter just burst onto the scene and just, like, command the entire defensive line, it felt like? How great of a player could we be watching in Jalen Carter?
Well, we knew going into the draft he was the best player in the draft. He just dropped because he had some off-the-field issues, right? So he was, to me, he wasn't – I ain't going to say it wasn't close, but he was – on most people's boards, he was the best player in the draft that year. And he fell to the Eagles at, what, 10, 11?
I think they traded up to 9.
9?
Yeah.
So there's nothing he's doing surprises me, you know. And the word is on the street, he doesn't even know how to play the position yet. Listen, from some guys I talked to inside, he doesn't even know how to play the position yet.
Wow.
He's just playing off raw talent.
Wow.
So the sky's the limit for this kid, you know. So I'm excited about his future.
It was pretty impressive seeing him basically for the second half of the year playing every snap of the game as well. Like not just being good, but out there every single play.
And not just being out there, not just taking up space.
Right.
You know, taking over the game, you know. So yep. That's a lot of snaps for a defensive tackle.
Yeah. Well, in that Rams game, he had enough left at the end of the game to get to Matt Stafford. If he doesn't do that, the Eagles might not even be in the Super Bowl, and that's after playing the entire game.
Well, it helps, too. When you're on the number one defense, you're not playing a lot of snaps. You're getting off the field.
Just getting off the field.
You can't be the number one defense, you know, playing a whole lot, giving up long drives and things like that. So they was getting off the field, but like you said, it's still impressive for one guy to get that many snaps, especially at the defensive line position.
All right, well, we thank you for coming over, man.
Hey, man.
Good luck on
the
reinvention of the swing. We hope when we're talking to you next year,
hopefully,
you're in, you know. And Mike Quick is over there saying, man, Trotter, he redid his swing. I don't know if I'm as good as him now.
So hopefully.
That's what
hopefully,
we're looking forward
to. He's a problem.
Yeah.
All right, you guys have a good one.
All right, thanks, thank you. Trotter. There he is, Jeremiah Trotter. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament at Penn Oaks, joined by WIP legend Billy King. It's what you're most known for, I think, is your run at WIP. Some would say one of my best hires. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I like these hours better.
Yeah. You don't have to get up so early.
Yeah, I mean, I was waking up about this time, but it was on the AM.
Yeah. How's your game out there? Are you a good golfer?
No, I have a torn rotator cuff, so I brought my son in as the reliever, so he's playing for me.
Okay. Great event, great day.
Great event. Beautiful weather.
Yeah. So, you must, being in the city where the team where you were a general manager at one point, like the 76ers. Just that you're here, and I can't imagine, like, if when I'm off for a day on this show, I don't even listen because I don't want to know what's going on. So it's sort of
we're not talking nice about you.
Yeah, they're not talking nice about them. So I can just imagine you watching it with a different eye and thinking about it as having been in that situation and watching it that way. It just must be interesting for you.
It is. You know, I guess whenever you were a GM, you watch it from a lens of a GM. So it's what moves would you make, what deals would you do. So I'm always looking at not just the Sixers, but all the teams, like what deals would you do?
Yeah.
Cap-wise, guys are playing, you know, Knicks lost. I'm thinking, okay, what are they going to do to get better?
Yeah.
Sixers lost. What are they going to do to get better? That's the, I guess, the curse of being a GM.
Yeah.
Is that that part never leaves you. Even as a coach, former coach, I'm watching when there's a timeout, end of the game, what play could they run? You know, so you're always thinking of it that way, not like the pleasure of just watching it.
Well, the NBA is so much different, I think, than the other sports because that one player is so important.
Yeah.
And even if that player is imperfect for one reason or another, it's still better than not having that player. So, you know, you dealt with Allen as a general manager here. Morey is dealing with Embiid, imperfect in different ways, but both imperfect. What is it like, I guess, to have to build around a player that might be unpredictable, you know, might not be the easiest to figure out?
Well, I think every team – Pat Riley told me this years ago when we had Allen. He goes, every team has things that they go through with their best player, their star. Some of it is not as public as some, as Allen was, but some of it, but everybody goes through situations. It's how you manage it, how you deal with it. But every team has those situations that they're dealing with, and you try to build a team so if that player is injured or not available to play, that they can continue to play and win without him. You're never going to win for a long period without your best player, but if you can build a team that can be competitive and play hard every night, give yourself a chance to win in those games, that's what you strive to do.
Yeah, Billy.
Uh-oh.
Spike.
Oh, boy.
He likes to say he's like a basketball guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you see it? I mean, like, do you, when you talk to him, or do you think you're talking to a good hoopman?
He's passionate.
He's passionate.
Oh,
that's
wow.
a good
that
way to
no,
put
no,
it. That's a good way to
no,
put
no.
it.
And I, when the reason I say he's passionate because of the fact that he watches it, he studies it, and he there's some people out there that are Sixer fans, and they may not be as passionate, so they don't listen and talk to different people, get all the nuance. And so when I say passion, that's not a dig. It's just that I think Spike will talk to people within this organization, and he will read maybe more things than you maybe. You may do it with baseball with the Phillies.
Sure.
You know, but I think that's more his passion is the Sixers.
Yes.
He's a sports fan, but I think his passion is there. So when you're passionate about something, about you tend to dig deeper and learn more about it. Just like you do with the Phillies.
That's right.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was eloquent. Yeah. That was beautiful.
Yeah, here comes the follow-up.
Yes, it is a follow-up. Has he thanked you enough for – because you acquired Ricky Sanchez or you
– I did. Well, he was thrown into the deal. When we traded Allen, the previous GM in Denver had gotten Ricky Sanchez, drafted him, and promised their GM, the late Dan Fagan, that he will bring him over and sign him. Well, that GM was gone, and the new GM didn't want to adhere to that, so he asked me, can you just take Ricky Sanchez and deal? I said, all right, I'll take his rights. So we took his rights, and then his agent called me, Dan Vega, and said, did they tell you the promise that they were going to bring him in and pay him? I go, no. He goes, well, are you going to do it? I go, no, we're not going to do it either.
That's amazing.
And I don't think he ever played in
no,
the NBA. He
no.
Did. Yeah.
So that's how he got here. I don't know how you end up naming your podcast after
they that. They traded his rights for Sam Young, who was from Memphis.
Oh, the Pit guy.
And we were just like looking on the list of transactions, and we was like, oh, that would be a funny name. And that was it. That was it. Yeah, not like a particular passion for the player. It was just a transaction.
And you'd be amazed. There are a lot of guys like that that get traded constantly because they're, you know, we need somebody to throw him. Take the rights. Because the agent's probably begging you to sign him or bring him over from Europe. So you're like, if I can get rid of that, I don't have to deal with the agent anymore.
Yeah. So Sixers are in a tough spot.
Yeah.
I guess you look and you say, okay, if this guy's healthy, then we have a shot. But he's never healthy. Like, at what point, I guess, when you're running a franchise, do you say, I can't live like this anymore? Do you know what I mean? Like, because mathematically, I would say, well, even if they only have a 5% chance of him being healthy, it's a better chance than whatever else they're going to do. But that's still tough to live with.
Well, the hardest thing is knowing when Joel is healthy, he's one of the best players in the league. And everybody's going to say, well, he's never healthy. But the thing about it is when you trade him, you're not the player or the players you're going to get back, you're never going to equal value. And the fact is you may get players that maybe in those 15, 20 games, at the 50 games that Joel would play, they're never going to equal to that. I think they've got to get more. They've got to get more athletic around Joel as much as possible. I think and the way that the league is, if you're watching Oklahoma City, you're watching Indiana, you watch Boston, I think you need as many 6'8" athletes as possible to be able to compete in this league because the game has changed where the power player down low is not as dominant, and the game is try to create mismatches by running pick and rolls. And so you got to have 7-footers or 6'10" guys that can guard when you do switch.
Yeah.
So I think you need as many 6'8", 6'9" athletes to be able to compete in this era of NBA. And the shooting, everybody shoots three. So if a guy is a 30% three-point shooter, it's pretty good in this league. But I think you've got to just have as many long athletic bodies as possible to be competitive.
What do you think about Ace Bailey? He seems like he's a hot topic here, obviously, because he's the third pick in the draft. What do you think about him?
I think he has a chance to be a very good player. I don't know if it'll be in the window of Joel Embiid and Paul George.
Okay.
That's where if you're sitting there as an organization, do you draft him because he's the best player for you for the now and the future, or do you move them to get something to try to win with Joel in this window?
It's the most difficult thing is trying to do something. That pick is a great asset, right? But to be in the middle where they sort of seem like where they you don't want to go all out and trade the opportunity for a young player for now. But then if you don't, it's almost like you're wasting it because the kid's never going to play here anyway.
You know? So that's the difficult part. I mean, I know Daryl, they're going to listen to every offer and people are going to make, and he's going to be as creative as possible. I think there will be a lot of movement just because I think a lot of teams are in the same position. And you've got Dallas, you know, Boston, even with Tatum being injured, what do they do? I mean, there are a lot of teams, Sacramento, they are looking at it. How do we, Chicago, how do we become better? Because they're all looking at that window. We've got to try to win. Some want to get in the playoffs. Some want to try to get further than they did in the first round. Some don't want to be in the play-in, Atlanta, for example. So I think that will create a lot of movement just because I think there's a lot of uncertainty in the league. There are a lot of teams that everybody knows that Indiana, you know, Boston, if healthy, they'll be good. You know the teams are going to be good in the East. Then there are a lot of teams that are uncertain. So when there's a lot of teams uncertain, that creates a lot of movement.
The one guy I'm really fascinated with, it's probably more of a trade-down option, but it's the Duke kid, Knipple. I mean, how do you think his fit would be on this team, and would he maybe an interesting option as a trade-down guy?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This opinion will be biased.
No, but think about it. You have a Duke shirt on.
But how many Duke guys did I ever have in my career?
That's a good point. It's not like you run around, you know, acquiring Duke guys. Yeah.
You weren't the Chip Kelly of GM.
I love Khan. I think he's an unbelievable shooter. I think he's a four in this league, mismatch four. So on this team, he'd be great because he can shoot the ball. Defensively, he'll try and give you effort. I think he's a bigger Cal Korver version of a defensive player, better rebounder probably than Cal. Shooting-wise, I think he has a chance to be just as good because I think he's a really good shooter. And I think he's ready to play, more ready to play right now too.
Well, and while we're asking, what Malouak, is that how we say his last name? The center on Duke.
I think his upside is tremendous. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to come in and be a dominant player next year, but I think he has a tremendous upside as he, you know, because I think he will be a very good player in this league.
Would be an interesting pick if the Sixers were to go and take a center.
Yeah.
You know?
That tells you what they're thinking about doing right there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Billy. We appreciate your time, man. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament at Penn Oaks, joined by the Freak, Javon Kearse. Thank you for taking some time out, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man.
So I have to – you and I are connected in a way.
Yeah, come on, please.
All right. So I'm in my mid-20s. I'm driving to work on 76 into Philadelphia, and I see a billboard. And on that billboard is two men, right? One man had a fur on without a shirt underneath. He looked very handsome, and it was you. And the other guy had a fur on with a shirt unbuttoned halfway, and that was my dad.
Howard Eskin.
Is my dad.
That's my dude. I did not know that, man. Nice to meet you, bro.
Nice to meet you, too.
Pleasure, man.
What was that photo shoot like? I just want you to know, that was a troubling moment for me. You look good, but seeing my dad with the shirt unbuttoned next to you, like, I don't know. You look cool with the fur with no shirt. He didn't look the same way.
I'm just saying that shoot was magical, man. Like, hanging out with your dad there, he had all the ideas. Like, that was for Zimmern Furs.
Yes, for Zimmern Furs.
They came up with the shoot and everything, and they had all the ideas. But once we got there, Pops had everything. Pops was like, trust me, I got this. So he took over all the creativeness during that shoot.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. That was quite a moment. My brother and I, like, we talked about it for years afterwards, and we can't believe our father was on that billboard with Javon Kearse. Quite a moment.
It was dope. It was fun. It was fun shooting that.
Your time in Philly, like, do you remember that, like, fondly? Is that a fun moment in your career playing in Philly?
It was very vivid. I remember.
Really?
It was very vivid, man. It was just fun time. I mean, outside of the team being who the team was, like, outside of having star players all across the board on both sides of the ball, it was exciting just to be here in the city.
Yeah.
With, like, the fans. Like, listen, I wasn't prepared for this. I was kind of forewarned, like, by, I would say, like, the media in Tennessee, as soon as I signed with you guys.
They were like, uh-oh.
They were like, bro, be ready. It's going to be a different animal. So, like, I accepted it, and I came up here, whatever. Like, it was always a fun time playing. Like, the fans here was just – it was just on a different level.
Yeah, I mean, what was it like for you, like, when you got here and you actually felt what everyone warned you about? Like, is it apprehension? Is it excitement? Like, what is it like to go from what you were experiencing to what you did experience?
I was more excited about it because, like, it was just like you're never going to see a boring game here. It don't matter if we're losing, if we're winning or whatever. It was always going to be fun. So, like, literally, like, getting here, getting used to talk radio, getting used to these fans, it was always just something that I look forward to doing. And then once you get here and once you're a part of it, and that first year I got here was the 2003-04 season. We went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots. That season right there was just the epitome of Eagles football because it was just so live and so much love coming from everywhere, man.
So obviously we're here for Brian Dawkins, and all the charity that he does was great. What was it like? Obviously, you were an established player, you're a great player, and then coming here, being around a guy like Brian Dawkins and what he brings to a team.
Right. Personally, it was. I felt like more. I'm not gonna say I felt comfortable coming in and playing, but like when I got here, I knew that I didn't have to be the man. Even though I already was one of the men, I knew I didn't have to be the man because we got 54, we got number 20, we got Lito Shep, we got like the defense, the offense was stacked. So I didn't feel any extra pressure to I got to be the one to make this happen. I'm like, listen, I got to make me some plays because I know they're gonna make some plays, so I got to try to steal some of those damn plays. So basically, it was one of those to where, like, you come in on a comfort level, like, knowing that you don't got to take over this team or whatever. It was already established. I just got to just add to the puzzle.
And he did.
Yeah.
Javon Kearse with us. So we're the same age. You're 48. Mm-hmm. Now, you look like you're in great shape, look like you're moving around all right. How's the body, like, feel?
I mean, for the most part, the body's holding up good. I'm still in the gym 4 days a week. I still do cardio.
Look like it.
When you have time, I don't have a wife or kids, so okay. I have time to go to the gym and do my little counseling session, is what I'm going to call it nowadays. Yep. Go there and, like, release some endorphins and then feel better. But outside of that, I just keep busy. I do workouts 4 days a week or whatever. And outside of that, one point, I was doing some fun stuff in Jamaica and kind of tore a tricep tendon. And then when that happened, I wasn't able to work out for a little bit. And then when that happened, my hip kind of started getting arthritic. But outside of that, I mean, I can probably throw a new hip in and go out there and get you back.
I have a new one.
I need
it's 10, about a year yep, old. Bro. New hip, yeah.
Look at you two.
Yeah, look at us. Me and Jamal Kearse.
Yep. Two elite athletes. Yeah.
It happens, man. To the elite ones, man. That's what it happens to.
It does. How's the golf game? Is it all right?
The golf game's picking up.
Good.
I'm somewhere around 17, 18 handicap. I just try to bogey golf, but most of the time I go out and have fun, especially when I come to these events here. It's always good. Networking, and I always stay in contact with the teams that I play with.
Now, Ike is on the show every single day.
Yeah.
Yep, Ike Reese.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Ike story as a teammate, or any Ike stories that kind of stick out?
No, actually, I don't have any Ike stories.
We try to get dirt on him, is what we're trying to do. So if you don't have any, yeah, all right.
No, but, I think he kept his nose clean around me, man.
Okay.
Yeah, he kept a good image around me. I didn't really have a chance to catch anything yet.
Yeah. Well, one of these things.
I might think of something. Who knows?
Do you still watch a lot of football?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tons of football.
Yeah. Yeah. NFL. Yeah.
NFL.
Yeah.
I keep up with my Gators, even though they're not so good, but they finished up for me pretty good last season. They was expected to have like a below 500 season and ended up above that. So I like that. But like I keep up with the Eagles. I played for only two pro teams,
yep.
Titans and Eagles. Got my AFC, my NFC team.
So you were cheering for us last year.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, you know, it was nothing going on in Tennessee anyway, so hell yeah.
What'd you think of that? I mean, we had the number one defense in the NFL, watching the Eagles defense last year. What'd you think of that?
By far, I would love to play on that damn defense.
Oh, really?
Heck yeah.
And what was it about their defense that you loved watching?
Man, that damn middle, the middle of the defensive line, man.
Yeah.
Jalen Carter and the boys go to work, man. I like Coop DeJean in the back, the back end. Everything is like, that's the way the defense ties together. Like, everything starts up front. You got some big dogs up front. Them boys are eating. They making some noise.
Yep.
Then your next level, your linebackers, they're right there as well, man. Come on. I mean, just in the stuff he did, and then I was told, like, last year was his first year, like, being a full-time starter.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy,
He had never even played that position, really. I mean, they thought, when they signed him, yeah. Howie Roseman said that they thought he was basically going to be, like, a situational linebacker and a special teams player.
Special team guy.
And he ended up being all-pro.
It's an unbelievable signing on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Listen, all I got to say is two names. Howie Roseman.
A great Gator.
And he's a Gator. I was going to say that as well.
Oh, I don't think I knew he was a Gator.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No, he doesn't draft any Gators, only Georgia and Alabama.
He gets them here, man. He gets them here, and they come in and play, man. So I do love what they're doing here.
You are a great defensive player, obviously. What's it like to see a guy like Jalen Carter? Like, what do you see when you watch Jalen Carter?
A guy that has just endless potential, and not just the potential. He goes out there and does it on the field. And on top of that, everyone else on the defense, like, feeds off that. So everything just starts up front. If you got this guy crushing that middle, I would love to be lined up next to him and go around that end and get to that damn quarterback, man. So, like, the stuff that he's doing, man, and, yeah.
You get that new hip in.
Yeah, maybe we get you a new hip in there and get you in there.
I can still get you about 10 standing
I was going to say, yeah. I was gonna say 10, 15 snaps. That's yeah, all we need
up.
Out of you.
That's it. That's
all
it.
Right. All right, Javon Kearse, we appreciate you, man.
Thanks for having
Thank
me.
Thank you for coming by.
Anytime, fellas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, yeah. Thank you.
Let's talk to Ross Tucker. We also love Ross. Maybe not as much as Taste of Cake, but we love Ross. He's got the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and more. Ross, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, but you can't be doing Tasty Cake reads right before I come on. I mean, I'm like doing the intermittent fasting thing. I'm waiting until 11 to have my yogurt parfait. You're killing me, Joe. You're killing me.
I know, man.
Trying to stay under 250. It's not easy.
There you go. All right, so, Ross, the Eagles are trying to do it again, and we'll get to that. But like I said, we can exist in the afterglow and not worry about it. Saquon, the honor of the Madden cover. Can you put some context, verbal context, on what Saquon accomplished and just, you know, because we're telling people today, pay tribute to Saquon. He deserves it. What comes from your heart?
Well, a couple things. First of all, and I know John mentioned this because I've been listening, I'm wondering why last year's Eagles team has not gotten more discussion as being one of the all-time greats.
I agree.
After the fourth game of the year, when they went to the bye, they didn't lose again the whole year when they had their quarterback. I mean, that is very, very rare to do. Hmm. And then when's the last time a team was really that dominant in the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl? I mean, that felt like the Super Bowls when we were in the 80s. Remember when we were kids and it was like every year was a blowout?
Yep.
That's what it felt like. And by the way, they didn't just do that. They did that to the back-to-back defending Super Bowl champs who were trying to be the first team to ever win three in a row, and they got annihilated. I can't really – I don't know, maybe some of the callers can figure it out. I can't really put my finger on why not a single person outside of Philadelphia has had a serious or honest discussion about where this Eagles team ranks.
That's a great
among the all-time
point.
Listen, you guys know I go on these different Odyssey stations all over the country. Not one person has brought it up. Not one station has said, where do they rank among the all-time greats? I have no idea why that's not even a thing. And Saquon says it publicly, and I see people like ripping him. Like, you shouldn't be ripping him at all. He's dead serious, and he should be. As for him, he's just too good to be true, man. I mean, in every aspect, I've been around him a couple times. I've heard so many stories. To be a local guy and then from Allentown, then he goes to Penn State. The things he does in the community and charity. He was out at Milton Hershey High School, which if you guys aren't familiar, that's a school. John knows it. It's a school for kids that come from single parents, and you have to apply to get in. And he just showed up, and they didn't know he was going to be there. It's just the guy is absolutely amazing. And I'm thrilled that he's on the cover, that play is on the cover, because it is iconic. Now it will be remembered forever. And the beauty of it now, too, is the Madden curse. That thing's been gone for years. I mean, Mahomes won a Super Bowl after he was on it. Brady played awesome after he was on it. I think, what have the last two guys been? Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen? And they're both winning MVPs. So I can't remember the last time the Madden curse was actually a thing.
Yeah.
Good stuff there, Ross. We appreciate it.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Is there a cooler honor, like, for a current player? I don't know that there's anything, like, what do you even call it? Like, status-wise, amongst other players, is there anything that other guys look at?
No. Ross, no, because I'll tell you why. No, because
envious of?
No, I think that there are guys, I think that there are probably some guys out there that would rather be on the cover of Madden than like be the MVP, because growing up, listen,
deal. They've
gotten to Madden every year.
Right,
I can't believe how seriously guys take their Madden ratings now.
So true.
I never like. So we were on it, right? And it was cool. Like your friends would be like, "Dude, I'm playing you on Madden." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. My agility's a 58 or whatever, right?" And we would laugh about it. These guys, I've talked to the guys at EA Sports that are the Madden ratings adjusters. they have, like, players get upset with them. They hear from agents. Yeah. It's a big deal. Everybody wants to be that 99 thing. Yeah. They really take it seriously. Like, they take their Madden ratings more seriously than Pro Football Focus, you know, and some of these other, you know, analytics services that are out there.
Listen, that's fascinating. Ross, let's talk a little bit more about the play, and then we'll get to the coming season. But putting aside when a moment happened and how a play in the Super Bowl can be more important than a play in the second quarter of a game in October or November. I don't even know what quarter it was, but you catch my drift. Is it the greatest? Like, what plays come to mind for you as a hardcore football fan and someone who played the game? The greatest individual plays you've ever seen.
Ooh.
Like, Randall in Buffalo would be up there, and that's an Eagles play.
Yeah, I just posted that. Randall in Buffalo was amazing. Right. I would say the Marshawn Lynch run against the Saints in the playoffs.
I agree.
Oh, for sure.
I would say maybe the James Harrison interception return.
I agree.
The Super Bowl. Incredible. So this is where it's a difficult conversation because it was like a 7-yard run. The guy gained 2 yards after he did it. And as John just – I hadn't heard him say that, John. He did get smoked, man. I mean, he got – I remember watching the video thinking he's never doing that again because he got – I'll just say this, though. What I truly appreciate, I can't even tell you how many football games I've watched in my 46 years on this planet. For someone to actually do something – that none of us have ever seen before, didn't know was possible, for him to do that in an actual regular season game. This isn't like at practice messing around. He did it in a real game. Just the fact that he even thought of it. Now, I need to hear more from him if he thought of it or it just instinctively happened. But for him to even conjure that as an actual option and then pull it off and make it look the way he did. It's, let's put it this way. All the other plays that we'll reference, I don't think you'll see as many NFL players on the sideline, to Rhea's point, that are blown away.
I agree with that.
Like the sideline player reaction, if we're judging NFL plays all time by sideline player reaction, I can't think of very many that are high. Maybe the Randall when Carl Banks hit him in the legs and Randall uses – I mean, we don't talk about Randall enough, by the way. My all-time favorite player. Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I agree with so much of what you said. All right, so, Ross, let's move this thing forward. It is now going to be about sustaining and trying to ward off the success from creeping into their minds too much. What would be – what's your next – look, the simple thing is, hey, guys – Don't let it affect you. Everyone can say that. What's the next level, Ross, of how to not let it affect you?
Well, and the problem is, Joe, they're it's like they're getting attacked from all sides, right? So you lose some good players. Milton Williams and Sweat and Slay, right? You lose some good players. Then you have all these opportunities.
Yeah.
And these guys should take it. Like, I saw where Blankenship and Cooper DeJean have a podcast now. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. More power to them. They should. Everybody has a podcast. I have one. My point would be these guys are getting so many opportunities. And I got to be honest with you, I would say yes to all of them because you don't know when you're going to get them again. You know, hey, go do this appearance. And, I saw where they were just doing a softball for Cooper DeJean in Iowa, you know, at his charity. Were they working out there? Probably. I don't know. But that's part of it, right? It's the opportunities. It's the players you lose. But then it's also the injuries. You know, that's really caught up on the 49ers the last couple of years, which is why I think they're going to have a bounce back year after not making the playoffs. But these guys were playing until, what was it, February 10th or whatever it was. That's a lot of extra football. They didn't get the bye in the playoffs. They had to play the Packers in that game. So you're kind of taking on things from all fronts, and then it's human nature to not be quite as hungry. I think that the fact that they've got so many young guys probably helps them in that regard. It's not a bunch of old heads. I thought it was interesting. I had BG on yesterday's Ross Tucker podcast, And he said that the torch has been passed to Nolan Smith for the DNs because there's no more Brandon Graham. There's no more Josh Sweat. And if you think about it, they need someone to emerge as a leader at corner. I'm assuming it's Blankenship at safety, but I think Gardner Johnson was the leader. And what people don't realize, Joe, is every position group, okay, has their own room. And you need a guy that sets the example, that sets the tone, that provides the mentorship to young guys. They had that with Slay. I think they had that with CJ GJ. These guys are high energy guys that bring it every day. They need young leaders to emerge and need them to emerge quickly.
So you were talking about the wear and tear of the season. You're talking about what we talk a lot about wear and tear on a back and why Saquon shouldn't get as many carries and touches as he got last year. And we were fortunate that he was as healthy as he was. If he's not as healthy this year, we have six or seven new faces in that running back room. But at the front of the pack is A.J. Dillon, a guy who's had some success in this league as, I guess, a short yardage type back, an early down back. Ross, what do you like about A.J. Dillon?
Well, and I'm glad you said that, John. If someone said to me, Ross, what's one of your biggest concerns about the team this year? I think it's depth. I think if you look at a lot of spots, if the top guy goes down, you look behind it and it's like, I don't know. I mean, that's what the preseason will be about. That's what they'll be working towards. But, they're not great at receiver if they lost AJ or Devontae. Mm-hmm. We know they're not great at tight end when Dallas goes down. Saquon goes down, to your point, John, we think, Will Shipley showed some promise. And A.J. Dillon's been a number two back in Green Bay for years. He's coming off a very serious neck injury. That's a tough injury. Any neck injury is tough. That's what ended my career. And especially that style of player, A bulldozing running back to have a neck injury, that makes me a little bit nervous. And so there's a bunch of positions where if the top guy goes down, there's other teams, right, where their number three receiver is really good. I don't think we can say that about Dotson, or their number two running back or their number two tight end is good. I'm not sure we can say that about Calcaterra or Dillon and Shipley.
Yeah.
All those guys might be good, and we'll see in the preseason. We'll see early this season. But let's put it this way. The Eagles' second string is not very impressive compared to some of the other team second strings out there. That would be their weakness right now.
We were throwing around the idea, some of us were earlier this week, end of last week, Kyle Pitts for a fourth or fifth round pick somewhere. I would love to do something like that, and I feel like I'm not very well supported on that front, Ross. How would you feel about something like
Ross,
that?
Ross, my point, let me just jump in. So my point is I just don't think it really fits. I mean, first off, I want the Eagles to prioritize a blocking tight end. I think that works with the Jalen Hurts-type offense. And I just think with Goddard here, it just would seem implausible that they would trade for Kyle Pitts. But your thoughts?
The concern with Pitts, well, first of all, I'd have to see what his number is, but it's probably a pretty decent number and it's fully guaranteed. It's not just one coaching staff now. It was Arthur Smith, and then you have a whole new coaching staff come in. They still haven't been able to get him going. And I know these other guys.
That's a really interesting point.
Yes, it's not like he's 0 for 2 so far, right? He's 0 for 2. And then the other thing is, they actually have a bunch of guys now battling for tight end. If you look at Kylan Granson from the Colts, Harrison Bryant from the Raiders, I know these guys aren't household names, but Harrison Bryant has been a number two tight end his whole career. I mean, he was drafted pretty high. He's been a number two tight end for Cleveland and the Raiders last year. Granson was basically the number two tight end for the Colts. So I think they signed those guys because they thought they were going to move on from Goddard. But now that they brought Goddard back for a year, they actually have... none of those guys are guys that you would want necessarily being your starter, But that's a battle. I mean, that's going to be an absolute battle for the number two and number three tight end spots, and four if they keep a fourth guy.
Yeah. Ross, we're now closer to the start of the season than the end of last year. So we're moving, my man. It's 3 months away.
We are, and I'm pleasantly surprised by the Huff trade. I mean, I was not expecting to get a draft choice like that and to save $8 million. So obviously that was not a good signing, which is another good lesson, right? That sometimes not every signing is going to work out, but it's a sunk cost and you try to make the most out of it. And I think that they have done that.
It's a pretty
solid return to get $8 million back and to get a fifth round pick. I mean, they didn't give up any draft picks to get him. They just signed him.
Yeah.
And now they're getting a fifth round pick in return. It is interesting though, isn't it? Like, he might go to the Niners with Saleh and he might light it up. I mean, we can't criticize Fangio because they had the number one defense. They won the Super Bowl, but it is the whole scheme fit thing is really interesting in the NFL.
No question. Ross, stay well. Love having you on the show. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks, bud.
Sounds great. See you guys.
All right. Thanks, there he is, Ross Tucker.
The best of interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.